Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Change Your Mind podcast, where we explore personal development, spirituality, and science. I'm your host, Chris Ashley. We are going to have a really deep episode today. I have Dr. Lisa Thompson with me. It was just the 1 year anniversary of her husband passing by suicide. So we're gonna talk about it. I've been told everything is on the table, and you know, we're hoping that this conversation can help a lot of people out there. First, before we get started, a couple quick announcements. Head over to the links in the show notes. You're going to find Dr. Lisa's links because she's also an incredible author and has so much going on as well. UFO tours. I recently had her on my television show on Ethereal Network. So if you want to hear all about her amazing UFO experiences, go watch that episode there. My show is Beyond Reality. And then also in the links in the show notes, you'll find a link to my book, Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality. You'll find links to sponsor the podcast, coaching, courses, free downloads, ways to connect on social media, all the good stuff. And then as always, this podcast is part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network. We're doing a lot in the personal development sphere, so come play with us. Hi, I'm Chris. When I was younger, I went through trauma that caused me to feel broken and lost. But my life changed after I had a spiritual awakening. Since then, I've dedicated my life to studying and learning from masters all around the world that have helped me to create a life of fulfillment and abundance beyond my wildest dreams. Now I'm dedicated to sharing everything I've learned so that you don't have to suffer for decades like I did. I've seen people's lives completely transform, and I share it all right here. All right. So with me today, I have Dr. Lisa Thompson. So Dr. Lisa is a best-selling author, galactic ambassador and channeler, and intuitive transformational coach, specializing in her unique energy healing modality called galactic ascension channeling, as well as parallel life regression and sound healing. And by the way, we haven't even talked about all those amazing things. So maybe we'll talk about a little bit of that today too. We just went straight to UFOs. She's the best-selling author of Wisdom of the Galactics, Channeled Messages to Elevate Your Life, Connection to the Cosmos, Remembering Your Galactic Heritage and Embracing Your Oneness, Sacred Soul Love, Manifesting True Love and Happiness by Revealing Healing Blockages and Limitations, and Sacred Soul Spaces, Designing Your Personal Oasis. So welcome, Lisa. So happy to have you here.
It's so great to be here with you, Chris. Thank you.
Yeah, this is our third conversation, right? Because I was on your podcast like over a year ago.
Yeah.
And some people you just connect with and you're like, wait, let's just keep talking. Let's talk about that. So I know we went like deep into your personal background and bio on the other show, but I start my episodes off the same way here by asking my guests to share their origin stories. But since we're talking about a little bit of a unique topic, I guess maybe some background context on everything kind of leading up to the suicide or your relationship or whatever you think might be worth sharing.
Yeah, thank you. So Skip, my husband, he was actually my third husband. So I spent my life going through a series of toxic relationships, one after another. And it wasn't until my second husband where I'm like, what am I doing? Why do I keep recreating these? And when I left him, I did some massive deep dive healing because I was the common denominator in all these relationships. And so in that, what I realized was I had, so my parents got divorced when I was two and my mother moved me out of state away from my dad. My dad wasn't a bad guy, but my mom, she moved to be close to her sister. But I only saw my dad twice a year and I had severe abandonment issues. My mother also was very much not wanting to be a mom. So she wasn't present. She was working or with her boyfriends or whatever. And so I felt abandoned by her too. And so I had created these stories of not being lovable, not being worthy. And that led to me being like an overachiever in school and in everything I did. And so really that culminated in I could do things really well, but not relationships because I didn't have that modeled. So when I got out of that second marriage and I was really working on healing all of these issues within me using a lot of different modalities, Once I did that, that's when I met Skip, my husband. And so, and that's also when I wrote my book, Sacred Soul Love, because really that book is a workbook that of the things that I did to process all of these emotions and traumas and, you know, the things that kept me in these bad relationships. So when I met Skip, we ultimately ended up being together for 8 years. He was the love of my life. He, you know, it was a love that I had always wanted and then I got. And so having that massive support, that was amazing. Now, he also, throughout our relationship together, you know, we met in the real estate industry. So he was a mortgage broker and then I had my interior design home staging business. So I had the spiritual side of me, but I hadn't done my spiritual business yet or started that. And so he really, really supported me in that journey of getting the different trainings and starting the spiritual business and then running both alongside. So now he never, even though he believed UFOs were real because he had seen one by his house like 12 years ago, he was kind of on the fence with the spiritual stuff. And so he played along really well. 3.5 years ago, we moved from Olympia, Washington here to the Big Island of Hawaii. And although that was a really good transition for us, it was also really challenging because, you know, he suffered from what we thought was seasonal depression for, you know, most of his life. Being in Washington State, it's rainy and cloudy 9 months out of the year. And so a lot of people do actually suffer from that seasonal affective disorder. And so we thought, okay, if we move here to Hawaii, where it's sunshine every day, because we're on the dry side of the island, that will help his depression and you know, how he's doing. And it did to an extent, because he was much more active year round. But there were a lot of things leading up. You know, I met my tribe right away, like my soul tribe, spiritual people. And he had a much harder time finding his people. He also ended up shifting careers. So he left the mortgage industry and ended up going into a new field. And he's, you know, he's a great salesman and knowing like how to work with people, but the training took far longer than what he had expected and had been told that it would. And so, you know, he wasn't making the friends that were deep connections. He was having trouble in his career. He was struggling with getting older, even because he's 4 years older than I am. And he felt like he was aging really fast. And he was very concerned that I was getting younger, he was getting older, and that perhaps maybe I would care, you know, what he looks like and that, you know, that we're aging. And I'm like, you know, so for me, it was like, no, I don't care. It's your soul. It's you. I love you. Mm-hmm. So there were things like that were leading up to it, but he was the kind of person that everyone loved him. You know, he would help people whenever they needed it. He was always just really fun to be around. And so it was a total shock for me and everyone that knew him. He hit it very, very well. And he actually, leading up the week before it happened, we were having some kind of challenging time in our relationship. There was a misunderstanding. And, you know, I was doing my best to make him know that, you know, that I love him and I wanted to be with him, you know, for the rest of our lives. But then I had to go and lead one of my galactic retreats. And so I was away from the house, and it was on that second night of my retreat that he, you know, he spiraled and ended up shooting himself. And I'm the one that discovered him because where I was hosting the retreat, it was in our neighborhood. And I realized that night, you know, I'd been trying to call him because he texted me probably, I don't know, an hour before he did it. to see if he could come over to the condo where I was staying that night so that, you know, so that we could be together. And I didn't see that text until like maybe an hour and a half later. And I wrote him back and I'm like, yeah, of course I want to see you. And then, so when I was done with the retreat for the night, I was, you know, texting like, hey, it's safe to come over. And I was calling him and there was no answer. And then my assistant, Tina, her husband, Frank, he came over to our condo and we were all supposed to be hanging out. And Tina was talking about like what we had had for breakfast or something, some really mundane conversation, telling her husband, but it triggered eggs. Oh my God, I need to go home and get the eggs to make breakfast for the ladies for the next morning. And so my house was like only 5 minutes away. So I told him, I'm going to run over, I'll get Skip, bring him back. And so I go, I get the eggs out of the garage fridge where they were. And everything was really dark, which was weird because we always have lights on in our house. And so I'm looking for him. And I, you know, our private courtyard is really, really dark, which again, it normally isn't because the light from inside the house normally lights it up. So I go into our Ohana, which is our bedroom essentially. So it's like a studio apartment attached to the house. And so that is what we had used as our bedroom. And I go in there and one of the ceiling fans is taken down, but it's not like replaced. He was going to be changing out ceiling fans during the retreat. And the bars, one of our bar stools was in the middle of the floor. It was just kind of a weird feeling. And so I'm like, starting to go around the house, like, where is he? What is going on? And then I go outside and in the far corner of our courtyard, I see him and it's sitting in a chair slumped over. And at first I thought he was playing a joke on me because, you know, we like Halloween and it, you know, it was about time for me to start decorating for that kind of thing. And as I like doing it early. And so, but when I realized that, no, this wasn't a joke. And so I kind of went into panic mode, you know, like, what the hell do I do? And so, you know, I ended up calling 911 and all of that. So massive shock out of the blue. And now I'll pause and let you ask any questions because I did have realizations afterwards of, you know, some of the things that might have been going on.
Thank you for sharing your story. My heart just goes out to you and I don't even know what to say. It's just, it's so heartbreaking. And especially that you didn't see it coming and you were there to find him and the way that he did it and everything about it is just so, so heartbreaking. And the fact that you are here a year and 2 days later, able to talk about it says so much about the work that you've done and who you are and your beliefs and like how strong and also like vulnerable of a person you are. And I just want to call that out. And just thank you for sharing your story. You know, I don't know. It's because it's hard. It's hard to talk about, but you know, when people are hearing about it, they're always like, what are the details? Right.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, I know like you didn't know anything leading up, like, was there a note or anything, or was it just,
oh no. And that, okay. So then, so after the next morning, well, actually that night, my daughter called my best friend who lives in Washington State still. And so Jen, she immediately got on the first airplane out to come. Mm-hmm. And then all of my retreat ladies were amazingly supportive and understanding. And the retreat became something completely different than what we thought it was going to be. And then, you know, my assistant Tina and her husband Frank, they were amazing. So the next morning, I was sitting at the condo out on the lanai, and I was communicating with the trees that were in front of me. And they, I was getting information because I'm like, what, like, why, what just happened? Because I, you know, again, I'm like, I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And what the trees shared with me was that I had done a massive timeline jump. And I'm like, really, it had to be that extreme? And they're like, yes, for the work that you're meant to be doing here. Yes, it had to be something really huge like that. Wow. Now, what's interesting is a few years before this happened, I kept having these premonitions that Skip was not going to live a very long life, but I didn't think it would be from suicide. I thought he was going to create some kind of illness or perhaps get in a motorcycle accident or, you know, something like that. And I had told my friend Jen this back when I was having these visions, and I'm like, I don't know why I'm having this. Like, I got to get this out of my head. And she totally remembered that too. So we have different exit points that we can choose. And so then, she and I were playing detective, like what was going on, what led to this extreme thing? Because, again, no one had any indication that he could be suicidal. Everything is figure outable, like, you know. And so when I finally, it took me a couple days to get my mind straight to remember his passcode to get into his cell phone. And so when I did that, I was looking back through his call history and listening to voicemails. And that afternoon, so he did it maybe 7:30 p.m. So that afternoon, he had tried to call his brother, his twin brother, who didn't answer. He had spoken on the phone with our handyman friend to help him change out the ceiling fans because it was tougher than he thought. He had spoken with his other guy friends to make plans to golf, play pickleball, and go running on the weekend. So he was making all these plans. He had also called a plumber because we were having an issue and with our irrigation. So all of these things that afternoon, he was getting lined up. And now one of the things that my daughter, actually, she's highly intuitive. She was like, Mom, I think I know what happened. And so Skip was a daily pot smoker, like for years. And so that was his way of relaxing or maybe calming down whatever, you know, ideas he was having, anxiety, stress, whatever. So what we think happened, and then I've gotten confirmation from a couple of my psychic medium friends as well, is that whatever thoughts were going on in his mind about him, finances, his career, me, like all the things, that he was smoking more and more and more to try to get the wheels to stop, because it was like he was spinning out of control. And at some point, and I didn't know this could happen with pot, but at some point there was a flip switch where he went into psychosis mode. And it was like there was no coming back from that, because then, you know, we only had one gun in the house. It was under the bed, his gun. And so in that moment, he must have thought, you know, there's no other way to get out of this. So what's interesting is that, so again, I have a lot of psychic medium friends, and that next night I had a reading with my friend Kathy, and for me, I didn't want to know from her what had happened, because I knew I was going to get that from other people, but I wanted to know, like, what is my forward direction? Like, am I going to be okay? Right. And so the cards were very positive. Yes, you're going to be fine, and you're going to get the support you need and all of that. But so then a few days later, I had a reading with my psychic teacher, Lisa. And I had messaged her. I'm like, you know, is Skip ready to come through yet? Because I know sometimes it can take a little longer for people in this situation to want to come through and speak to past loved ones, live loved ones. And so she got an immediate yes that, okay, yeah, he actually really wants to speak to you. So when the messages that she was getting from him was that, you know, he was sorry, but not sorry because he was in a much better place. The emotions are different on the other side. Mm. They see things very differently and time is very different. And so he's like, you know, I couldn't do it. I couldn't support you physically in the way that you needed support, but I can do so much more from the other side. And I am going to be helping you and supporting you and bringing you opportunities, bringing new people. He also shared in that first session, he's like, I know you're not going to want to really hear this, but he's like, it's okay to be happy sooner than later. You know, you do not have to spend, you know, months or years grieving this. You need to live your life. You have so much to give to the world. And then he was like, and you're not going to want to hear this either, but you need romance in your life. It brings out the creativity in you and it keeps you going. And he was like, you know, I will bring you your next love. You're not going to have to go through a bunch of losers.
Aww.
And so, he was right. I didn't want to hear that like a few days after.
Right. Of course.
But it was very interesting that that's what came through, you know, and they see things very different from the other side once they're out of this physical body. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's a pretty like amazing message to get though. Like you don't have to spend years grieving this. Like you can move forward. I've actually heard that like when we grieve so, so, so hard, like, and cannot let go, it keeps the other person like stuck, right? They're not able to like move on and move forward. Have you felt him helping you from the other side?
I have. So it's interesting because he's come to me in different ways. So, you know, he has come through my different psychic medium friends. He's also, I have felt his presence. I've also smelled him because so I'm highly clairsentient. So I have strong feeling, but I also have a very good nose. And the first time he came to me, that I could smell him, it was his stinky feet, like from his work shoes. And I'm like, like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no stinky feet, please.
Yeah. You're like, this is how you're going to visit me. Really?
Yeah. Well, and then he changed that to it being the smell of weed instead, which I can handle way better than stinky feet. And
that's so funny.
The other thing was, it was maybe a couple weeks after he had passed, because Jen was still with me. She stayed with me for 3 full weeks to help me do all the logistics, be my gatekeeper, because dealing with friends and family, ooh, that was tough, especially his twin brother. Ooh. So anyway, she was my gatekeeper. But okay, so I live in Hawaii, and my ohana is like a studio apartment. Well, we have, you know, the big flying cockroaches. They don't infest homes, but you'll get one random one flying in and whatever. Well, so within a probably 24-hour period, only in my ohana, there were 9 of these giant cockroaches that were in the bathroom kind of area. And I'm like, Jen, check this out. And I'm like, this is weird. But I do get signs from animals and from other things, right? And so I'm like, okay, there's a message here. And so I had to be like, I had to go back to what I know and be like, okay, what's the message? What does cockroach represent? And if you think about cockroaches, man, they can survive a nuclear war.
So you can't kill those fuckers.
No, you can't. And so the message was that I am a survivor. I will thrive no matter what. I will always come out on the other side. So that was a really powerful message. And so once I, you know, acknowledged that's why the cockroaches were there and so much in my face, then they stopped coming. Now they do come occasionally and I'll be like, hi, Skip. And so, you know, just really being aware of what's coming. So the other thing that, you know, when he had said that he would bring me a new love. So it was only a few months after where I came across this guy who he had known about our UFO tours, because we used to stand on the side of the road with our inflatable ETs to meet our clients so they could find us. And so this guy, he lived in the condos across the street from where we would stand with the things. And so 3 years ago, he got one of our business cards from me, and he had listened to a few of my podcasts and, you know, looked into like who I was. Well, so, you know, fast forward to December 29th, actually, this past year, I had just gotten back from Washington, was visiting there to basically spend last Christmas with my mother, who passed away in February. And so a lot of death this past
year. When it rains, it pours, man. And then
we lost our cat in March, one of our cats. So
a serious dark night of the soul.
Yeah. So anyway, so this guy, he decides, you know, we cross paths and I invite him to come on a UFO tour the next night. And the connection, like I knew within a day that, okay, I know this person. We've had multiple lives together. You know, there is this soul connection. And when I met Skip, I didn't know how I knew him, but I'm like, I know you. I've met you before. And the same thing was with my very first husband. Like an instant, like, okay, there's something very familiar about you. And so, so for the last, you know, 9 months, almost 9 months, have been, hanging out with this guy, and we're still figuring things out, of, you know, what the relationship actually is. But that, whether it's him or something even better, it's showing me that I am able to move forward.
Your face like lit up when you started talking about him too. It's yeah, you've got the glow. That makes me really happy to hear. So what is it, do you think, that like really helped you heal in that time? Because I'm sure people are listening who have lost loved ones, maybe by suicide. Like what was it that really helped?
Well, number one, having my best friend there to really like hold me, like hold that space for me, and to help me not have to deal with the people that really wanted to maybe help or to be like blame me for this death, like his brother. And
no, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And so so she basically, like, if she wasn't there, I would have been jumping right back into work, not processing emotions, just ignoring, right? Really compartmentalizing, because I'm very good at that. Mm. That's how I've gotten stuff done in my life. And so she was like, nope, we are not doing that. And so I canceled all the tours, you know, any clients that I had, and we went to the beach just about every day, because the beach really helps to ground me. And then the salt water really helps to release those emotions. So even if someone doesn't live by the ocean, then salt baths, you know, really salt, drawing out the stuff, and really just allowing myself to feel those emotions. And the other thing is that I decided pretty quickly that I needed to actually start clearing some of his stuff out of the space, because I needed to take away the visible thing that would maybe keep me stuck. And so we cleared out all his clothes. We started actually trying to sell a couple of the vehicles. of his that I did not want, like his Project BMW 1972 BMW and his motorcycle.
Yeah,
things like that. And so and then I danced. I sang and I danced. So I like Jen would go to bed and I would be in the Ohana. And I was playing the Depeche Mode station because he was a huge Depeche Mode fan. That was one of his very favorites. And so I would just play that station and sing and dance and just move that energy. And so by the time that Jen had to fly back home, because her husband ended up needing her to fly back home because he got in a car accident. So she had to go take care of him. Mm-hmm. We're like, what is going on? Anyway, so once she had left, you know, I was in a much better place where I knew, okay, I got to figure out what's my new normal. And I still like, again, it was September 15th when he passed away. We were huge Halloween fans. You know, costume, we always had the party at our house. And so I decided, you know what, I'm still going to have the Halloween party and I'm going to make it as a more intimate celebration of life. I had a big celebration of life at the beach open to his coworkers and friends and whoever wanted to come to that. But the Halloween, you know, it was smaller, more intimate friends where everyone got to go around and share whatever they wanted to. And so just, I think by keep taking the steps forward day by day is really what helped me. And then again, you know, because I've been doing healing for the last, you know, like seven, eight years. When I healed myself to meet Skip, I had really come to a place where I had full love for myself. And I didn't feel like I needed him in my life. I just wanted him in my life. And I was able to maintain that throughout the entire relationship in terms of not losing myself to this person. And so because I was still a whole, complete person, even though, you know, it was devastating, of course, but I knew that, you know, I am a rising phoenix. I am a cockroach. I can do hard things. I've done hard things and I will continue living. And I get to now, okay, what kind of life do I want to create now? What, I still have another possible 50 years left. What am I going to do with it? So it was like one book completely closed and now I'm writing the new book.
Which, and this is like, I don't mean this in a morbid sense, but there's points in our life where we start over, where we get to reinvent ourselves. And it's like, I don't want to say like the next adventure begins because I don't want it to sound insensitive, but you're at that place where it's like, okay, like the world is my oyster. What steps do I want to take? Where do I want to go? What kind of person do I want to be? How do I want to come out of this? And mm-hmm. I just appreciate everything you just shared so much. And I think people are going to get so much out of hearing it because all of the things that you did were just so important. You did like all the right things, right? And maybe not even by choice, maybe by being forced to by your friend, but it's like water is so healing and moving your body and allowing yourself to feel and having people, like allowing yourself to lean on people. Like, I feel like those are the things that people have such a hard time with, right? People close down and they just get, and understandably so, right? Like not to blame anyone. It's so easy, you know, because unfortunately we're all going to lose someone we love, right? Not in such a horrific way, like hopefully most people, but it's so easy to just get caught up in the grief or the anger or the blaming or just the heartache and like you said, to compartmentalize and just totally close off and not feel things.
Yeah.
Right. And then those emotions become stuck and repressed and suppressed and that leads to illness. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And instead of going that route, I mean, I'm sure there's still more healing to do, but you're thriving and you're in like such a like healthy headspace compared to what you could be. And that's so monumental.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And it's really interesting when something like this happens, how external people react, because a lot of people project how they think that they would feel onto the grieving person. And so, you know, one of my friends within the first week, I ran into her at the post office and she's like, you know, I'm so sorry, this is going to suck for a really long time. And I'm like, no, it's not.
That's a horrible thing to say.
I know. And I'm like, that's not my reality. No, it's not going to suck for a really long time.
Yeah.
And so, and then other people coming at me with the like tears in their eyes and like, oh, and I'm, and you know, how are you doing? And that kind of energy, I try to stay away from that because I'm like, you know, I can't take on your feelings and you projecting that onto me. And they would think that because I was holding it together or processing in a way that they didn't understand that, that I wasn't really processing, but everyone processes differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfectly fine. Like processing in their own time and their own way. There is no right or wrong way to do it if you are actually processing.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, I think there, we have a lot of society expectations on, it's got to be at least a minimum amount of time before you can move on. And it's like, no, it, every situation is different. Every person is different.
And also like the other, like Skip is good. He's fine, right? It's like the, I mean, you are intuitive and you know what you talk to people on the other side of the veil and like you've read up and studied that kind of stuff like I have. It's like we know how beautiful it is and that like that's our real existence, right? And we're just incarnated in this school, in this game, in this earth experience, right? And it's devastating. Losing someone is devastating, but the sadness is all here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's one of the other things that he wanted me to know, like really, because again, like in terms of all the spiritual things that I know and understand, and I know you understand the same things, as well as all the galactic stuff I do, he was really on the fence. Like he was like, some of it, okay. And then other, that's kind of weird. Well, so from the other side, he was like, everything that you are doing and believe and understand is completely right on. So keep doing what you're doing.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. That's super cool. Yeah. No, it's so true what you were saying though about how other people project their own stuff or have expectations or just try and like push their own beliefs onto you. Like I lost my dad a year ago. And I went down like a deep dive. Like he was in hospice for 9 months and he'd be asleep and I'd be sitting next to him in bed reading like NDE stories and like going down those wormholes and like all this spiritual stuff about like regressions to the other side. It's like stuff that I already knew about, but it was just like hearing those stories. It was so comforting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And the thing that, you know, before this happened, because I do understand or have somewhat of an understanding of what happens after the physical body passes, because ultimately our energy never dies.
Right.
You know, we just, we experience new things. And so, but this and getting the messages from him really help me integrate, embody that, okay, I have no fear of death. I have more fear of like physical pain in this human body. if I was, taken out right now, like I've lived a beautiful life, a beautiful, amazing life. And yes, I have much more to live. What do I want to create now? What's my new journey? And so that's really what I'm day by day figuring out. Now, I also, over the last year, have been very gentle with myself, with my business, in terms of just letting it flow, not pushing. Normally, I'm very, very creative in terms of, you know, either writing a book or creating oracle decks or making jewelry or, you know, all the things that I do creatively. And I have not done any of that in this last year. And it's okay. I'm allowing myself to have that space. I don't have to be constantly in production mode. And so one of my nicknames that my guy has given me is L3, Lisa, Lady of Leisure. And it's an endearing term. And I'm like, yeah, because even before this thing with Skip, I had 2 years of really challenging time with my daughter because we were dealing with her mental health issues. And so I've had 3 years of just massive shit thrown at me. And so I'm like, I am like energetically tired. Like I need this rest. And I know that, and I feel my batteries charging up again. And so I know that, you know, in the next few months, I'll be back, you know, to working it like I do. Yeah.
That's so important. It's like, it's different than like a tired. It's like your soul is tired. Like your soul needs rest. And I'm glad to hear you're taking that time for yourself. When I was reading your bio, it said that you specialize in parallel life regression. How has that work been brought into your healing or your perspective, or like has your perspective around that changed at all since this? And I've asked that because you mentioned the timeline, that you jump timelines.
Mm-hmm. So why I'm calling it parallel life regression, traditionally it's called past life regression. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm an advanced certified past life regression therapist, but at the quantum level, all timelines exist simultaneously. There is no past, there is no future. And so when we are able to, you know, go deep into our subconscious mind, we can access the information from these different timelines, these different lives that we're living, whether they're here on Earth or off Earth, whatever they are. And that actually, we can figure out what's the root cause of this issue and clear it. And, you know, which lifetime, which timeline did it come from? And so even in these Earth lives, we have infinite number of timeline potentials. And so really, like for me, when I realized that my purpose here on Earth is to be the galactic ambassador that I am, and that I'm like, really, this is what I'm doing? and it is. And I had to make a major shift, you know, like something, the things that didn't fit me really being out there and doing that fully had to leave my life, whether it's people, places, things, times, or events, you know. And that's, and we get so tied up in that it has to be this person or it has to be this thing. But when we are able to be neutral in that and just let go whatever needs to let go, even if it's not comfortable, not fun, you know, sad, hard. So I know, I really do feel like I got catapulted, like slingshotted into this new timeline where I can actually fully step in without worrying about what I'm saying is going to be something that Skip can't handle. Because often he would help me on the UFO tours. And when I would talk to the people, and still when I talk to the people, depending on how much information they know or what they want to know about it, I come from a very spiritual perspective of the ET UFO phenomena. And there would be times where we would get into, not arguments, but we would have disagreements about what I was saying after the tour, after the fact, because he'd be like, you know, you should stick to the 3D stuff, the government stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to stick to that. That is not what I'm here to do. Other people are talking heads for that. No, I want to have people really understand this deep spiritual understanding that we all are multidimensional. We have our angels, our spirit guides, our animal guides, and we have galactic guides too. We have so much support. And that actually helped me get through this too, is knowing that I have so much support on the other side and asking, you know, they can't go against our free will, none of them. So asking like a team, whoever's job responsibility is, help me with this. Yeah.
I just, you're incredible. And, you know, we obviously have the same beliefs on a lot of things, pretty much everything. And, but to hear someone not just talk the talk, but walk the walk and be like, I needed to step into this purpose, this path, and maybe this person wasn't in alignment with that. And that's like a big, hard thing to say. Mm-hmm. And I just want to like highlight that for listeners, because I think, you know, I talk a lot on the show, I just was talking about it with someone else, that victim mindset is like rampant right now, right? Especially on social media. And this topic comes up, whether we're talking about spirituality. I just had a money mindset guy on a couple hours ago. Like we were talking about it then. Like, and I think especially when you go through a tragedy like this, like of course it's normal to fall into victim mindset, right? And that's an okay place to live for a while, right? But eventually you have that choice, right? Yeah. You can heal and move on, or you can fall into resentment and get bitter, or just get sucked into those emotions. And I think the fact that you're able to just look at it like that and be like, you know, I have this purpose and this is a hard, sad thing, but now I'm like on this other timeline and things have been cleared and there's a reason and a purpose for things.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and you know, I've done things in this past year that I would not have felt like I could do if Skip was still here, because so basically I've done a lot of traveling. And in March I was in Sedona for a big kind of UFO conference thing, having a vendor booth there that he might have supported. But in April, I went to Egypt for 2.5 weeks. And I had already planned to go to Bali. To my best friend and I, we were taking our daughters to celebrate adulthood and, you know, graduation, all that, to Bali. We had planned that for a few years. So I know that I would not have felt like I could go to Egypt if he was still here because of the time away from home, but also the money piece. Because one thing, he was always very, very worried about money. And I'm like, money, we're abundant. What are you talking about? And so we had very different mindsets around that. And I went to Egypt and I needed to go to Egypt to be on this path. Like it was part of what I'm doing. And so, yeah, just one example.
Yeah. And I love that it's like Sedona and Egypt both have those like higher frequencies coming in. And yeah, it's almost like you needed to get like tuned to that, or like learn from some masters there or something coming through.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So is there anything that you want to say to people? And I know that's kind of what this whole conversation has been, but like anything specifically you want to say to people who have lost someone recently and they're just in that, they're in the mess, they're in the chaos still?
Well, so it can get better. It will get better if you allow it to, and ask for help. Like, and even, you know, if you're open to it, talk to psychic mediums. I probably over the last year have talked to 7 or 8 different people to see what wanted to come through. And, you know, that really helps give peace of mind when you get those messages from the other side, because ultimately everyone who passes, they are all okay. They are in a much better place. And, you know, they're on their next mission. They're on to whatever, you know, next journey they're going to have. And they're always with us too, because we are all connected. We are all one. There really is no separation. And so, you know, just knowing, trusting that they're there to support you and asking for that support.
That's really beautiful advice. And then I guess also, like, what about people who want to connect with someone who has passed? They want to get those signs. You know, how do you open yourself up to that?
Well, I would say the more clear you are with whatever emotions or trauma you have from the past, from this life or other lives even, but the more clear you get, the more you're able to expand your clair abilities and be tuned in. And so really working on yourself first and foremost in terms of all of that healing, that's the first step. And then once the stuff is cleared, then you have space to then receive those messages and see the signs and, you know, hear, feel all the things.
All the smells.
Yeah.
That one's been happening to me a lot lately too. Do you think that, and this is just a personal question, like when you're just hanging out in your house and you're like, hey, Skip, do you see me right now? Like, do you, or like you say something to me out loud, do you think that people on the other side can always hear that when you're talking to them?
I do. I think, yeah, because we're always connected.
That's such a comforting thought.
Yeah. Well, and there are a couple of our friends too that after he passed, they were asking him for help, for answers and things. And one of our real estate agent friends, she had a really complicated thing going on. And she just was like, Skip, I don't know if you can help me with this, but like within a few hours, she got a major download of the answer and she knew it was from him.
Goosebumps. That's amazing. Yeah. That's so cool. I love that. Thank you so much for this conversation. You are just, you're inspirational. And I knew this was going to be so important. And I'm sure it was so important for so many people to hear. Is there any last thing that you want people to be left with that maybe we didn't touch on, or any last thoughts that you have to say?
Just know that you create your reality. And so what do you want to create? Like, really, what do you want to evolve into? What do you want to create? And take the steps to do that.
Hell yeah. I love it. Dr. Lisa, thank you so much. And obviously we didn't really talk much about your work, but I'm sure we sparked some interest just talking about UFOs and your books. And so if people want to connect with you, if they want to find you, if they want to get readings or go on your UFO tours, all the things, where can they find you?
So I've got two different websites. Most of my like healing services, all of that is at drlisajthompson.com. UFO tour stuff is bigislandufotours.com. And then I'm on Facebook and Instagram. And at my YouTube channel, it's Connection to the Cosmos with Dr. Lisa Thompson.
Awesome. Thank you. And I said this at the beginning, listeners, but Dr. Lisa was on my show Beyond Reality on the Ethereal Network, and we talked all about UFOs. They show up every time on her tours. Yeah. So if you want to see a UFO, like, for sure, go. Like, that's just, I want to go. Next time I'm in Hawaii, I'm going. So I just thought, like, that has stuck with me. That's so cool. All right. So if you're listening and this resonated, please comment, share, subscribe, like, definitely send it to someone who you think could use it. And, you know, like we've been talking about, people grieve in their own ways, but sometimes, a lot of times, hearing someone else's story and perspective and healing journey just can completely mean the world to someone and completely change how they're processing. So don't be afraid to send this to someone who might be grieving. And thank you all so much. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day. I will see you next time.